1520 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Peter King. Israel says it stepped up its attacks on Gaza with more troops on the ground there. Prime Minister Netanyahu says the battle is in its second stage, but as troops go in, between 500 and 600 Americans are trying to get out. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan tells Face the Nation it's the highest priority for the Biden administration.
The Egyptians are prepared to let Americans and other foreign nationals out of Gaza. The Israelis have no issue with that, but Hamas is preventing their departure and making a series of demands. We're trying to work through that to create a circumstance where all of the Americans who are in Gaza are able to get out.
The fighting has made the flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza uneven at best. Desperate people are taking desperate measures, breaking into UN supply warehouses. Here's CBS's Linda Gradstein.
In a statement, UNRWA, which is responsible for Palestinian refugees, said that the break-ins by thousands of Gazans who took flour and what they called basic survival items was a sign that civil order is starting to break down. One of the warehouses was in Deir al-Balah, where UNRWA stores humanitarian supplies that have recently entered Gaza from Egypt. Meanwhile, as Israel expanded its ground incursion, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned the war would be long. He said the war in Gaza will be long and difficult, calling it a second war of independence. Linda Gradstein for CBS News. Jerusalem.
One of TV's friends has died. Matthew Perry, who was the wisecracking Chandler Bing. This woman was a big fan.
I grew up with the show and enjoyed it so much. It was really symbolic of the times and iconic of the times. I don't think we have TV shows like that anymore, that kind of lighthearted, fun comedy.
Police tell CBS Los Angeles they responded to a water rescue call at Perry's home yesterday, but so far, no announced cause of death. Matthew Perry was 54. Auto workers now have a tentative deal with two of the big three automakers.
We've achieved what just weeks ago we were told was impossible.
Union President Sean Fain, after the UAW and Stellantis announced a tentative agreement. Fain says workers will vote on this deal and one with Ford. There's none yet with GM. World Series Game 1 was a thriller. Game 2, anything but that for Texas Rangers fans.
2-2. Shot to third and caught. Rivera's got it, and Game 2 goes to the Diamondbacks in a resounding way. 9-1 to tie the series up.
Joe Davis on Fox Sports. The series moves to Phoenix with Game 3 tomorrow night. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Because the way we care is anything but ordinary. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Tamron Hall. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious, farm-fresh taste plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, with more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties, classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Discover. This is Danny.
Hi, it's Jen Coolidge. I just want to thank you for making me feel so special. I earned cash back on debit for my dinner party groceries.
That's great. But with Discover Cashback Debit, we give everyone cash back on everyday purchases. Anything else I can help you with?
Are you hungry? Because everyone left after the asparagus sorbet.
Introducing Discover Cashback Debit, a checking account with cash back. It pays to Discover. Eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
Here are the trick-or-treating hours in communities throughout central Wisconsin on Tuesday, October 31st. In Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Nakusa, Port Edwards, and Buren, 5 to 7 p.m. In Rudolph, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. In Pittsville, 4 to 7 p.m. In Vesper, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. There will also be games and a movie at the Community Center in Vesper. Here's wishing everyone a safe and fun Halloween.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 37 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 21, high of 35 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, thank you, Don Rue. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Wednesday, October 18th, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app, by podcast or by social media. Nice to have you here in the state of Wiscommon Sense. We're going to unpack the news for you, and we're going to start it pretty early because there is so much to deal with today, including what some folks might say is a real power play in Madison. It's not. It's a tantrum. It was an unprecedented display by legislative Republicans on Tuesday of complete and total disdain for citizen service in Wisconsin and for the will of the voters. Republicans in the state Senate on Tuesday, for no decent reason whatsoever, fired 8 of Governor Tony Evers' appointees. In one case, so many people on the state Natural Resources Board that it was left without a quorum, without the ability to do its job. One of the people fired included our normal Wednesday visitor, Melissa Baldoff, who is a domestic abuse survivor and who was serving as co-chair of the Governor's Council on Domestic Abuse. We're going to talk to her a little earlier than usual this morning. She's going to tell us about the sexism put on display by at least one senator, himself a former police chief, in handling her nomination and subsequent removal from the Domestic Abuse Council. Melissa then, of course, will stick around and we'll talk about issues related to a changing climate and what that means for Wisconsin. Then in our next hour, another big story. It deals with a lawsuit that was filed last week, one we've known was coming for a while. And it's official now, and it is a lawsuit that seeks to drive a stake through the heart of the voucher school program that was created and encouraged by those looking to undermine Wisconsin public schools to the extent that it has become a second parallel school system in Wisconsin that taxpayers have to pay for, that they shouldn't have to pay for. The state constitution calls for one school system that taxpayers are responsible for. This lawsuit doesn't look to get rid of private education in any way, shape, or form, but says if you want to go to private school, you pay your own freight. There's one school system that Wisconsin taxpayers should be responsible for. We will talk to the lead plaintiff in there, Julie Underwood, and Heather Dubois-Boronon of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We're also going to get the updated weather forecast. We're going to talk to Melissa Kay from locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids later this hour when we do today's history lesson and music segment. And then we will wrap things up as we often do on Wednesdays by talking to Todd Alba, whose show airs on the Civic Media Radio Network from 1 to 3 in the afternoons. Temperatures across Wisconsin right now about 15 degrees warmer than yesterday, and that's a relief. It is 49 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. It's 49 in Madison. It's 49 in Hayward. It's 48 in La Crosse and Wisconsin Rapids. It's 45 in Waukesha and Wausau. And the cool spot across the Civic Media radio network of stations would be in Green Bay, where it is 42 degrees right now. As we get into things here, if you have questions or comments, there's a couple of different ways where you can have input. You can call us up live at 844-967-2789. Happy to talk to you. Happy to answer any questions. Keep in mind as well that that same phone number isn't just for calls. You can text us as well at that same number, 844-967-2789. You can do both of those as well through the Civic Media app. Put that on your phone and you can text or call us, and we'll mention the texts as they come in. Same goes for the comments. If you hear something as you watch us on a live feed on Facebook, just put a comment there right underneath the live video feed. We'll see it, maybe put it up on screen, maybe respond to that as well. So as I said, we have a lot of ground to cover today. We cannot forget, though, as always, a tip of the cap and a note of thanks to Sam Davison, who's standing by down in Madison, flipping all the knobs and switches and keeping this radio circus on the air with all the plates spinning. Sam, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little tired, but I'm doing pretty good.
I think it's a function of the darkness. You know, this early in the morning, it is.
I was up a little late the past couple nights too, but
The night before, I had just a wicked case of insomnia. Mm. So yeah, it's getting dark earlier. If you're not taking care of yourself, if you're still trying to stay up a little late, it kind of comes back to bite you every now and then, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. We'll work through it.
Now, by chance, was it related to the engine rebuilding project that you've got going, or
no?
Other things happening.
I work part time at a theater on the UW campus. I run film projectors.
Oh,
so, I was out there doing that.
Film project. So not everything is computerized yet, huh? There's still a projector that needs to be run.
Well, I mean, they only do it for like specialty events or like glass screenings, but. Here and there, yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. And then I suppose you get free popcorn as one of the perks of
if they make
the job,
it, yeah.
Right? All right. Well, good. But unfortunately, yeah, there's not a lot of matinees anymore. People want to see these things in the evening and keeps you up a little bit past your normal bedtime, I would imagine.
Oh, tad. Not too bad, though.
Okay, that's all right. We'll manage to keep each other awake through the day until the sun rises here and we really get going on this Wednesday. It's October 18th. Then again, when we come back, we'll really get into things with Republican legislators and their petty and unprecedented firing of gubernatorial appointees. We'll briefly touch on some of the other headlines of the day, a little bit of sports and more coming up. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. And we'll be back on Lake Wissota after this.
Around the corner,
around the country,
or around the world, take WFHR with you wherever you go.
Take us to work, on the boat, or in the stand this hunting season.
Download the Civic Media app and make WFHR your co-pilot all day, every day. And never miss another news update, Badger game, or serious comedy to start your day.
WFHR is here for our community by keeping you informed and entertained. So take us with you and never miss a beat.
It's that time of year where things go bump in the night. Ghosts and ghouls and goblins are spotted roaming the foggy late-night landscape, preparing for Halloween. Coming soon, there will be tricks and treats, costumes and fun. But remember, there's only one thing more scary and disturbing than vampires, witches, or even clowns. The most frightening thing of all, an old, rickety, dark and dirty porta-potty. Don't let the thought of a porta-potty frighten you. Crockett Septic has a huge inventory of porta potties available for events, parties, and promotions, and they're always clean and comfortable. Stay away from those nasty porta coffins and call Crockett Septic for a porta potty experience that won't scare the well, you know, out of you. From Rome to Rudolph in Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point and Plover, Crockett Septic can handle your porta potty needs, holding tanks and septic pumping too. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456.
could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here you come again. You're going to hear in our little history lesson and music break later this hour, I'm going to be rattling off a whole bunch of songs, just song titles. I don't have time to play all of the clips because we're going to be mentioning two different legendary songwriters who were born on this day in history, and then tell you just the wide range of music that they put together. Dolly Parton's Here You Come Again is one of them that we'll be talking about in just a little bit. So stick around. Melissa Kay from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids will join us for that segment coming up at about 6:50. Very briefly in sports, the National League Baseball playoffs, the Phillies beat up on Arizona last night 10-0. Phillies up 2-0 in the National League Championship Series. The American League Championship Series resumes tonight in Dallas with Houston taking on the Texas Rangers. Houston's already up 2-0 in that series as well. The Up North News daily newsletter is out. Today's edition talks about the drive to plant 75 million trees across Wisconsin, one of the things that we can do to continue ensuring a healthy climate. The newsletter talks about 11 scenic drives that you can take around Wisconsin, and fall colors would be the perfect time for that. And then my editorial column about the anti-trans bills that have made their way through the legislature, including a bill that was passed by the state Senate yesterday, limiting the rights of transgender youth and their families. The headline being that, you know, in the end, hate won't win, but for the moment, the voices of hate have a very big megaphone, and they are running the Wisconsin legislature right now. More about that in just a sec, but I also want to mention in passing, the Assembly passed a bill yesterday that would help renovate American Family Field and keep the Brewers in the ballpark for the next several years. That bill now moves on to the state Senate. There was a new candidate announced for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District across western Wisconsin and part of central Wisconsin. His name is Eric Wilson. He's from Eau Claire. He becomes the 5th Democrat to announce for that primary to potentially run against Republican Derek Van Orden. We will talk to Eric Wilson in our 7 a.m. hour on Friday. And one more note out of the news internationally, and I know we got this on the text line yesterday, where somebody asked if we could help explain all the contradictory stories about what's happening in the Middle East. Is it, you know, Israelis who are, bombing Gaza? We heard about that terrible tragedy yesterday with an explosion at a hospital in Gaza that killed hundreds. Was that Israel? Was that a Hamas rocket that misfired? Was it a completely separate group, Islamic Jihad, that is trying to undermine and inflame tensions in the area? And the only thing that bothers me more than everybody speculating about it is that we don't know. We don't know yet. And yet a lot of people are willing to point fingers. It is, of course, a place where, tension is raw, emotions are high. It's a war zone, and it's a conflict that's been going on since long before we got here, and we have had in fits and starts an ability to bring periods of peace to the region. We are not there at this moment. President Biden is in Israel this morning. We're going to let those talks continue and have events play themselves out and take more time at a future date to try to get to some of the building blocks that would help all of us understand this and come to our own political conclusions, but hopefully come to the same humanitarian conclusion that we should do whatever we can to minimize civilian casualties in this war. So we'll save that for another time. Okay, also on the website, upnorthnewswi.com, you will see my story about what Republicans did yesterday in the state Senate. The Republicans can confirm gubernatorial nominees whenever they like. In other words, a governor appoints people to head up departments, agencies, boards. And in Wisconsin, you don't have to wait for Senate confirmation. You start doing those duties right away. But then whenever the Senate gets around to taking a vote, if they vote not to confirm you, then that means essentially you're fired. It's very much, and let's be clear about this, this is a perverse way of handling Senate confirmations. But nobody has thought to change it in all of these many, many years because nobody had blatantly abused the process until Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature after Tony Evers was elected governor. Republicans are still sitting on more than 100 nominations, choosing not to confirm them so that essentially they have the power to fire them at any given point. They've done that with a cabinet secretary, Brad Paff, when he was heading up the state agriculture department. And they just did it yesterday to 8 Evers appointees, not for any high crimes or misdemeanors or malfeasance or anything, just because they're petty and they can do it. And I would urge everybody, the reason I am spending so much time emphasizing this is to not normalize it. Since 1981, the state Senate has only rejected 5 gubernatorial appointments. Governors are duly elected by Wisconsin voters. Governors should get to choose their agency heads, barring actual misdeeds. And one of the people that was fired yesterday was Melissa Baldoff. She is a former aide to Governor Evers, but she's also a former domestic abuse survivor. Governor Evers just called all of this a disregard for democracy. And he's absolutely right. And so I talked to Melissa late yesterday and asked her to recount the tale of how she came to be on the council and what happened next.
Back in 2019, I was appointed to by the governor to serve on the governor's council on domestic abuse in a role that is, one of the roles that's reserved for survivors. I am a survivor of domestic abuse, something I've, had to deal with for a long time, even though I'm very happily remarried now, something that stays with you a long time, the trauma, and with my kids, and being able to be involved in this council was for me, like for so many survivors who get involved in advocacy, really, one way to, work towards healing and to regain your voice. And so I was first appointed in 2019, was reappointed last year. They never confirmed me the first time. And then they took up both of my appointments and decided to vote me down because Senator Jesse James said basically that I was mean to some of his colleagues in tweets. I'm personally disappointed to not get to serve in this role. It's been very fulfilling for me. But, the broader concern I have is the kind of chilling effect it has on survivors, because the message is to shut up, to be quiet. If they aren't going to like what you say, the tweets he took offense to were ones where I called out racism and homophobia and transphobia and misogyny. And I won't apologize for calling those things out.
Okay. I want to make sure I have this straight because I'm hearing this for the first time. You're saying the person leading the voices, rejecting your being able to continue serving on a domestic violence panel was Senator Jesse James, the former police chief of Altoona, who knows a thing or two about this issue, and my words, not yours, might have an idea of how that looks, but apparently went ahead and did it anyway. That's the Senator Jesse James we're talking about here?
That's who chaired the committee, and they first voted me down in committee, yes. So I kind of led that charge there and I actually had a conversation with him several months prior to being voted down in committee where he, had a stack of my tweets printed out and told me he had some concerns about them, asked me if I hated all men, asked me if I felt like I was emotional when I made my tweets. But once we got
he said that?
Oh, he sure did. That. He sure did. Wow. And after we got through all that, however, I held my tongue because doing that kind of work is really important to me. And it's a place where I set politics and partisanship aside. And after that, we had, I thought, a very, you know, productive conversation. We spoke at length about the role of law enforcement. You know, I relayed my experience that I, you know, the several times that I have had to call law enforcement in the past, you know, my interactions were very positive. I shared my concern for law enforcement officers and first responders generally. You know, they're often going into dangerous situations. And, you know, we just saw earlier this week a report come out from End Abuse of Wisconsin talking about the 20% increase in domestic violence homicides in Wisconsin. We are one of the worst states. Further data will come out federally in about a month. But as of last year, we were the seventh worst state in the country for domestic violence homicides. Because of our 20% increase, that number is expected to get even worse this year. And, you know, most of those homicides, the overwhelming majority of those homicides are gun related. And also that counts gun suicides as well. So, you know, the report also detailed the significant underfunding that is happening to domestic violence programs. They are experiencing tens of millions of dollars in shortfall. And instead of dealing with any of that, they want to send a message to a lady they don't like. So it's just, I think it's very representative of the way they're acting broadly.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but can we still be disappointed, almost shockingly so in cases like yours?
Yeah. I mean, I just think it just goes to show that, you know, there's just really not a bottom for them yet. Years ago, I thought, well, it couldn't get worse than this. And every time I thought that, they found a way to, you know, let the bar sink a little bit lower. So, you know, I think that's going to continue to be the case, you know, here in Wisconsin, in D.C., where you got, you know, our six congressmen voting for an insurrectionist to be speaker. You know, it's like you don't think that it could get worse. And yet it does.
And yet it does indeed. Melissa Baldoff will join us on the other side of the break to talk more about our usual weekly climate segment. But let me take the rest of this segment to note some of the other firings yesterday, including former legislators. You talk about having any type of legislative professional courtesy? No. Joseph Czarnecki, former Milwaukee County Clerk, former state rep, former state senator, was fired from the Wisconsin Elections Commission for standing up to the Republican imaginary firing of Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. By firing members of the Natural Resources Board, it has been unable to meet or act until the governor names new members, something the governor did do right away. Sheldon Wasserman, an OBGYN and former state senator and chair of the Medical Examining Board, was fired yesterday as well for having the audacity to stand up for women's reproductive health rights. And there was a gentleman who was let go from a board that hears challenges to decisions on where to build livestock facilities because of opposition by business groups. Don't normalize this, folks. This is a Saturday night massacre of Wisconsin proportions that nobody needs to tolerate. Back after this, you're up north.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Locally Grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Not all people are the same. And yet, when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are. With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine. Learn more at joinallofus.org.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First, drown it with a bucket of water, then stir it with a shovel.
Wow, you sound just like him.
Then he said.
If it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 37 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 21, high of 35 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32. Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 37 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 21, high of 35 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
In this dirty old part of the city.
All right, we're back now talking about the newly filed lawsuit that takes aim at the what I refer to for shorthand purposes as the voucher school program. There's a lot more to it. There's multiple programs. There are things that are private, things that are quasi-public. And so we'll get the details on what exactly a new lawsuit wants to have done with Julie Underwood, who's one of the plaintiffs in the case, former dean of the UW-Madison School of Education, and Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Heather, Julie, nice to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, let's start with you because your name is on the suit, and because Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, is one of the defendants. I think we'll be knowing the lawsuit as Underwood versus Voss, Underwood v. Voss. So I'm going to let you have the honors of explaining in your own words what is Underwood v. Voss.
Well, first, thank you very much, and thanks for everybody who's interested in these issues. First of all, let's talk about the name, Underwood versus Voss. Yes, I'm one of a group of six named plaintiffs, but we're really representing everyone who supports public schools and everyone who is against vouchers. And normally, a lawsuit like this would be filed against the Department of Public Instruction, which it is, and against the state because the state's, you know, like the state budget officer and those kind of things. But we chose to put Robin Voss up front because Robin Voss is actually the one who has caused more damage to public schools in the time that he's been in office than anyone else. And it's the legislature that's created these programs. Department of Public Instruction has to administer them, but the legislature's created these programs. So we thought it was important to put Voss front and center.
So now go ahead and tell us what it is that the suit aims to do. Best case scenario.
Okay, I'll do it really fast. Mm-hmm. Two things, two important things, and all the voucher programs in the state of Wisconsin. And we can talk about how big they are. They are a behemoth, just like you said. And second, and the spending caps that the legislature has put on public school districts across the state of Wisconsin, because they've been strangling public schools as well. And so it would do those two things, and I'd be glad to unpack them however you want to.
All right. Let's bring in Heather as well, because Heather, along with everybody at the Wisconsin Public Education Network, they have been tireless advocates, not just for public education overall, but then especially with this growing threat of the voucher school system. Heather, just give me your overview of it when people say, what is it that you guys just filed? How do you explain it to lay people?
Yeah, well, first of all, we're not directly involved in the filing of the case, but I've been fielding questions about it since the news came out, and people are just feeling a sense of relief that this is a long overdue intervention, as vouchers increasingly have shrunk the size of the pot that's available in public school fundings across the state. And we are seeing more and more and more belt tightening as the level of funding for public schools hasn't even kept pace with inflation for 16 years, while the state continues to invest disproportionately in this side program that plays by its own set of rules. So as people have seen the impacts of that play out at the local level, they are growing increasingly frustrated with how unfair that system is and questioning whether or not it's constitutional.
And the system itself, as I understand it, Julie, is this. The Wisconsin state constitution essentially guarantees and dictates a free as what practicable public education to students, says nothing about paying for two parallel school systems. And yet it sure seems that's where we are in Wisconsin these days.
Absolutely. So Article 10, Section 3, the Wisconsin Constitution guarantees all children in the state of Wisconsin a public education, tuition free. And it has to be uniform as practicable. So the legislature has to create a system of public schools. It says to create a system of public schools. It doesn't say anything about creating two parallel systems and sucking the money out of the public school system and providing it to the private school system, which is what is happening.
And isn't that what we really get at here, is that when this was first started, when voucher schools were started as a small experiment in Milwaukee, people said, let's try this because test scores in Milwaukee aren't very good, et cetera. And that's when it was legally challenged. And courts then said, yeah, we'll, you know, let this go forward. And frankly, there just hasn't been the political climate until now to challenge it. And again, Heather, it's the immense growth in this that is crying out for a court to once again be asked, is this right?
Yeah, people are paying close attention to this. Almost every bit of voucher expansion that we've seen in this state has happened in sort of sneaky last minute budget moves without opportunity for public impact. And so the sort of shady way that these have been forced through politically is largely because there's no public clamor for them. What the public sees when these programs roll out is that parents and students are losing the rights and protections that are afforded them in our public schools only. And kids are not necessarily getting their needs met in this private system either. So what we want at Wisconsin Public Education Network is the state to restore its commitment to making sure that every single kid has equal access to an excellent public school, and that we are funding those schools at the levels that they need to make sure that all students can thrive. Only our public schools have that obligation. And until the state starts meeting that obligation, I really don't know how we can justify throwing all of our money away in a system that doesn't protect the rights of kids.
So, Julie, let's go beyond the voucher school system itself. As you noted, this is in part about revenue caps, revenue limits, something that, again, I don't think I see it in the state constitution anyplace, but that legislators at some point said, well, public schools are overtaxing, in their opinion, and that something needs to be done about it. How does that fit into this lawsuit?
Well, it fits into this lawsuit in that the legislature has created these revenue caps. They call it revenue caps. They're actually spending caps. And there are different caps for every district across the state of Wisconsin. And these spending limits were created at a time when the state was committed to providing 2/3 funding. And they wanted to control how much the locals were spending, because when the locals raised their spending, it kicked in a match from the state. So it was 2/3 funding. Also, the legislature had said at that time that there was going to be an escalator on it. So there was a regular cost of living increase. And there also was at the same time a piece about teacher salary negotiations. Now, since this happened, you know, long time ago, 30 years ago, there are no more teacher negotiations, since during the Walker years, we ended teacher unions, basically, public unions, basically. So that doesn't exist anymore. The cost of living increase also ended during the Walker years, when they actually cut those spending limits. They rather than taking them up, they cut them down, and we haven't had those adjustments, regular adjustments, since then. And of course, you know, what's left?
Yeah, they haven't maintained the program that they had set up, the you know, the promises that they had made.
Now, to be fair, mm-hmm. they have gone back to 2/3 funding, but mm-hmm. only because the spending has shrunk so much, the local spending has shrunk so much, that the state has technically is now spending 2/3 money for the public education budget. But it's also a little accounting trick. So in that 2/3, they add in property tax relief and a bunch of other stuff that really does not go to schools. It does not go to kids in the classroom, for sure.
It has become convoluted to the point where it kind of looks like that meme of a criminal investigation board, and there's pieces of string all over the board. You try to explain the school funding formula to people. I have tried.
I try to explain the school funding formula a lot, and so does Heather.
So it leads
unnecessarily complex and unnecessarily, like, opaque. It's not transparent at all.
It leads to this question then. If successful, let me frame it this way, in the terms of the gerrymandering lawsuit. Because again, in both cases, it's taken 15 years of conservative control of the state Supreme Court to finally go away because of the voters. You now have progressive control of the court, and so you have this new challenge to the gerrymandered maps, and now a challenge to voucher schools. In the case of the gerrymandered maps, what's being sought, and the motions were filed this week making it official, was to say, members of the court, we would like you to not only throw out these old maps, we would like you to redraw the maps. Don't take, submissions from other people. Courts have drawn the maps before. You draw the maps. Is there a parallel there in that, in this lawsuit, are you asking the court to do something that spells out a school funding formula, or just to throw this out and the legislature has to do something to revise how schools are funded in Wisconsin?
No. This would not draw a new school finance formula. As a matter of fact, this is not about the school finance formula itself. It's about the voucher programs. And it's asking the court to strike those voucher programs so that and the independent charters programs so that those no longer exist in the state of Wisconsin. Those private schools are no longer funded out of the public school budget any longer. And it's asking to strike the revenue limits. So it's not asking the court to come up with something new, because that's the legislature's responsibility. The Constitution says it's the legislature's responsibility to fund public schools and to create those systems.
It sounds to me, Heather, like what would come from all of this is, rather than saying, hey, court, draw something new, is like if you strip this down, if you take some of the gunk out, which would be the voucher school program and the revenue limits, you actually would have a streamlined way to fund schools that would fund public schools properly.
Exactly, Pat. I mean, ending these unaccountable programs puts us on a path toward seeking the fairness all of our kids deserve. We know that this state can afford to fully and fairly fund its public schools, but for reasons that baffle all of us, they choose not to. Instead, they've invested in a program that we're spending nearly $500 million a year on already that has its cap slated to come off in just 2 years. We have to be prepared for what we're going to do in that moment and make sure that we are protecting the students who attend the schools our Constitution requires us to provide an excellent education in, and make sure that they have their needs met. And so this suit could go a long way into setting the stage for that circumstance and getting Wisconsin back on a path towards fairness and excellence and restoring its commitment to its children. Pat, I think you are muted.
There I do. I did it again. I got to get a brighter light on this computer. Like on TV, a great big red light bulb, hangs down from the studio. I need one of those, or maybe something that puts an electric shock on my chair. I don't know. Whatever the case may be. I was simply going to conclude by saying that our friend Kirk Bangstead of the Minocqua Brewing Company, Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC, has been an unabashed champion helping fundraise for the legal expenses in this. He talks about it on his own podcast and radio show on Thursday nights on another network. We'll talk more about that at another time, but because we've run out of time here, I've got just enough time to thank you, Heather, and to thank you, Julie, and to say come back frequently with every update of the case along the way, and we wish you all the best with it. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you very much.
Happy to come back anytime.
Oh, we'll count on it. We'll every motion that gets filed, they're going to get a phone call from me saying, all right, come on, let's get an update on this, because people are going to watch this like they're watching the gerrymandering lawsuit, like they're watching the challenge to the 1849 abortion ban, all of this that could lead to, frankly, a new day in Wisconsin and emerge from, more than a decade of darkness. Todd Alba will be up next to talk about what's on his show, including the recent news about some very sad news coming from the University of Wisconsin system. Back after this, you're up north.
Girl, there's a better life for me and you. Believe me, baby.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and five current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Bug Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on Wis Country 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with...
More Garth! More Reba! Winona!
Yeah, but also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn!
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn!
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth! More Reba!
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, Wis Country.
Winona.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio. It's for you, buddy.
Welcome back.
Luke Mathers, everybody. I'm sorry, I should have queued up a wild round of applause as well. But
woo!
There you go.
All good.
On Kristen.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, how's our favorite honeymooner?
It was a great time. I'm a little whiplash now that I'm back, you know, trying to catch back up with the headlines. It's a weird feeling getting back into the swing of things. But
Sam, turn that camera on and tell people, you know, what you told me at the very start of the show when I mentioned Luke. I said, is he like throwing his weight around? He's in boss mode again. And you said, no, the poor guy's been sucked into nonstop meetings to get caught up.
Well, yeah, I heard that he like had a big pile of papers on his desk to go through, and he's like been in a bunch of meetings since he got back. He's been a busy guy.
It's been a hectic couple of days, but you know, I'm feeling a little bit better about getting caught up. So it's been interesting.
Well, without giving away state secrets, what can you tell us about your honeymoon travels?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the metric system. Public transportation, amazing in Europe. Didn't really have to rely. I think we took one cab all together, but everything else was trams, trains, buses. It was incredible. There as well, though. I had a really great time, and if I ever go missing, don't look in Ireland. That's the moral of the story. You definitely won't find me in Ireland if I go missing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's great. How far in advance did you plan your trips?
Some of it had a good amount of legwork, planned in advance. Other things we were kind of flying by the seat of our pants. So it was a little bit of both things. Our time in London, when we were at the end of our trip, we were both pretty exhausted, Kelsey and I, and we had already walked more than 200 miles across the continent. And that wasn't like from point A to point B. That was just exploring in all the different cities that we were in. And so we kind of just spent some time on the West End and went to a couple of musical productions. So that was what we decided to do in London. We had some availability in the schedule, and we left it kind of open to play it by ear. and relaxing and going and seeing some excellent performances. I got to see Hamilton and Wicked. And wow. That was a good way to kind of wind the trip down, because we were, after 3 weeks, we were both very, very exhausted.
I love that you went to London to see Hamilton. There is just like some beautiful drama.
It was hilarious.
There.
I was laughing the entire time because
I was going to say, how was there? It's... Yeah, I'm sure they loved the King George character. You know, going, hey, wait a minute here.
That sounds familiar.
How was the look that you saw on your bride's face when you got home? You put down the bags, and did it say on her face, you know, okay, that's all done, and now it's just you for the rest of my life? Did she look despondent at all, or... Was it just me? I only got that look?
I don't know if you're just oversharing a little bit, Pat, but I'm a little concerned for you.
Like, I'm going to wake up with this guy every morning till I die.
Let's be clear, though. Pat's wife puts old fashions in his desk drawers so he can get through the morning show.
I'm looking. Is that the scavenger hunt? That's the location of the little old Wisconsin old fashion?
That was his birthday present.
Yeah.
There was glitter involved.
Oh, wow. Did you not see the surprise party that got put on for me on air?
I heard about it. I did not see it, but I was told that it was marvelous.
Oh, we wore plaid shirts.
Yep.
Yes, everybody dressed up like Pat.
Mm-hmm. I have not been so self-conscious about what I wear. Now every Thursday, it's like, oh, God, she's going to say something. Okay, so...
Listeners actually started like sending wardrobe suggestions that he has taken, and he has since purchased some Chelsea boots and some skinny jeans.
Yes, and some untucked shirts, and damn, they would, you know.
Ka-chow.
Yeah. Ka-chow.
There you go, Pat. Just crowdsourcing the wardrobe change.
I did. I outsourced the wardrobe, and in our last half hour, I outsourced hobbies. I'm looking for a hobby.
Okay.
How about you? Are you looking for hobbies around the civic media empire here? You normally share with us news of, you know, what's happening at the world headquarters. You're still getting caught up, but is there any breaking news to share with folks today?
We're going to have some pretty excited changes coming in the coming weeks here. We're going to be making some lineup changes. Town Call's final edition is going to be tomorrow. So
ooh,
there's going to be...
Okay.
Yeah, Will Walter and I, you'll still find us across various civic media platforms, but Town Call going to be coming to an end. I'm excited because it's going to at least free me up to be able to go to all of the excellent stations that we have and that we're building across the state of Wisconsin. So it frees me up a little bit to help improve all of the products that we're doing. So you're going to see me. I was in Waukesha yesterday. I'm going to be around the state more frequently, and they're very excited about those opportunities.
Would that availability start happening at like 6:06 weekday mornings? Because there's always room for company over here.
On a day that I'm up in Chippewa Falls, sure.
On a day that you're up in Chippewa Falls.
I'll go find an old-fashioned in your desk drawer with you. That works for me.
I'd like to revive the idea of a bus and a traveling show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get
Sam is in. Sam raised his hand. I saw that.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, let's get you in on that. We, you know, see what Aaron's been up to since he moved to a later part of the day here. I'm going to ask one inside question, and because it leads to a story. But I understand that we are going to be getting what's called in the radio business a new clock, which just means the time when the commercial breaks are going to move. And I was looking at that yesterday for the first time. And now I'll get to the story. But does that start next week, or is that just still somewhere on the horizon?
We're doing some tests soon. So we're going to see. It's great. We're going to test it out before it actually goes everywhere, which is just, you know, one of those very, very smart things to do.
That is.
It's going to consolidate some of our news and weather at the top of the hour as well. So we're excited about that and be able to bring all of the information that listeners are looking for in one consolidated.
So the reason I ask is that we do have the current clock here is pretty hard because it's a network. So you got to get out at a certain point. Well, every Thursday morning at about 8:15, I appear with Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, as I will again in a few minutes here. But because Chad is not on the network, it's just a standalone local show. For him, the clock isn't as rigid. And so we'd go on, and instead of getting out at 8:29, we'd go till 8:30, 31, 32, whatever the case may be. And I was getting used to that. last week, I'm prattling on and on and on. And right at 8:29, he says, Pat, I got to go to break. See you later. Bye. And that's when he said to me, with the move to the new studio in Wausau, they're now on the hard clock. But he kind of forgot to tell me that before I sounded like drunk uncle, just going on and on with some story.
We've all been there.
Are we talking about me?
Yeah, no, or we've talked, you know, over the number.
Yeah, it tends to happen, but that's okay. But we'll have more, it's going to be more flexibility as well. So maybe eventually we're going to have those.
Okay, I got to cut you off, Luke, because the show's about to end here. So
hey, wait, I need to pitch a public service announcement at 11 today.
Okay, 11 o'clock.
Yeah, we're going to talk about whatever Jane wants to talk about. Also, probably vitamin D deficiency and iron deficiency anemia. That's
WFHR, okay. Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.